You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, we are wrapping up today, as I said earlier, the Rush for Christmas series. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea of being on a treadmill and the go, go, go of Christmas time and how it's important to rest and to take some time to get off of the treadmill. And the point that week was, you know, for Christmas this year, slow down. And the importance of that, and not getting caught up in all the stuff. And if you didn't hear it, it's at mc3church.org. You can listen to it there under Listen to the Point. And then last week we talked about the idea of reflection, and we had the mirrors set up, and we said that it's important for us to reflect on what Christmas is, and reflect on what we get caught up in. And before we get caught up in buying all this stuff and all that, and there's nothing wrong with gifts, there's nothing wrong with giving, there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but just to take the time to reflect. And we said last week, for Christmas this year, think first. Just think through what you've got. And I want to wrap up this series just talking about this idea of Christmas. And I was thinking just the other day, how I was talking to Kendra, how often at Christmas, you know, especially like on the radio or whatever, we have these verses that we, you know, the Christmas verses get thrown out and we say them and we hear them, you know, and we just kind of, it becomes connected with Christmas. And I think the funny thing about that is that we rarely take a moment to sit back and say, well, what, besides the fact that it feels good to hear that at Christmas time, what does that mean? And what's going on here? What's the big deal about Christmas? Because it wasn't invented by the big retail organization that has the circle, the red circle. It wasn't invented by the other organization that has the, what do they have now? It's like a sunburst thingy, or Amazon, or any of those. It was something that was invented by God. So what's it all about? So what is Christmas all about? And I think the problem is that over the years, I mean, you know, some of you are fairly old. You're like in your 40s. You know, some of you are pretty old. But none of you are like 2,000 years old, I don't think. So you haven't been around since the beginning of Christmas. So over these years, I think things have changed. We've kind of misunderstood what it's all about. And we've kind of gotten, you know, various opinions of what Christmas is and why we celebrate it and what's going on. And there's all these jumbled things that kind of come together into what we as 2014 Central Pennsylvania American Christians, Christ followers, have come to believe what church is. So all these things are jumbled together, and you kind of have a mixed bag, a mixed understanding of what Christmas is, sort of like this guy.
Two tentacle places, if you would.
I'll get the stuff.
Brand new sky. To repeat, I am Mr. Copper, the ship's historian, and I shall be taking you to old London town in the country of UK, ruled over by good King Wenceslas. Now, human beings worship the great god Santa, creature with fearsome claws, and his wife Mary. And every Christmas Eve, the people of UK go to war with the country of Turkey. They then eat the turkey people for Christmas dinner, like savages.
Excuse me, sorry, but where did you get all this from?
Well, I have a first-class degree in economics.
If you couldn't pick up all the Brit humor there, Santa, who has his fearsome claws, is the god who's married to Mary. So misunderstanding Christmas, Doctor Who, classic David Tennant scene. I think we've kind of got this idea of what is it all about. And I want to take some time this morning, with what little time I have, to talk about what Christmas really is and why it's such a big deal and why this idea of rejoicing matters, why this idea of rejoicing is worth it. And so the point that I want you to walk away with this week is, for Christmas this year, find joy. And we're going to talk about what joy is and what joy isn't. But I want you to find joy. And really, because I think if we can understand what Christmas is, joy is a part of that. And I think if we understand what joy is, it's tied into Christmas. So I think these two things are related. But I want to, today, you know, the last few weeks we've looked at some different things with this kind of unusual Christmas series. Look at some random passages. But today I want to look at a real good old Christmas passage. And that's why I have a rocking chair, because you have to talk about Christmas in a rocking chair. Because, I don't know, it's just, actually, I just wanted to be comfortable up here. I might take a nap, too, so if I doze off, you know, just throw something at me. So, throw your iPhone or your not BlackBerry. Maybe throw the Windows phone. anyway, so Christmas this year, find joy. I'm just kidding, by the way. So don't send Microsoft people to kidnap me in the middle of the night. I want to look at this passage in Luke chapter 2. Again, a very familiar story of the Christmas story. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke 2. You can turn to the YouVersion app, since many of you have phones. And if you haven't downloaded the YouVersion app, you can go to YouVersion.com. And I think it's actually Bible.com now. I think they bought Bible.com. So you can have a free, all the books of the Bible on your phone. But Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and following. And this is what it says. At that time, we can kick on the house lights, there we go. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So for Christmas this year, I want you to find joy. What is joy? Because we just read here that the angel said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy." Joy. What's going on here? So let's look at this passage going back to chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby." Now, nearby means that they were near the city of Bethlehem. So these were Jewish shepherds. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on here that's a big deal, but we don't realize it because we kind of know the story and it just kind of happens. But there's a lot of crazy stuff going on here. So these shepherds are there, Jewish shepherds, are in the fields nearby guarding their flocks of sheep. It says, suddenly, an angel of the Lord. Now, the word angel is angelos, is the Greek word, and it means messenger. And so when you see angel of the Lord, it means something specifically. Many say that in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was referring to Jesus in sort of a pre-incarnate form, before Jesus became man. But the idea was that an angel, anywhere you see an angel in the Bible, They were a messenger. Sometimes the word angel meant something sort of supernatural, unusual, let's say third dimensional or fourth dimensional, well, I don't know, ultra supernatural, something different. But many times, just to be straight with you, many times the word angel just means someone that was delivering a message. So, you know, Mr. Kirk Gensel is an angel. He is an angel that works for the United States Postal Service. So every time you see Kirk, just remember, he is an angel of the USPS, not an angel of the Lord. But he is an angel, because that's what the word meant. Now, we're going to do a series in February, March called Christianophobia. And we're going to talk a little bit more about angels and what that's all about. But just understand that this was a messenger on behalf of God. Someone speaking in a crazy way. And it says that this angel appeared. Now, you got to understand, they did not have, unlike the video that we watched in ATU a few weeks back, they did not have their smartphones with them. There were not electric streetlights. I would venture to say there weren't even gas streetlights. And let's even go further and say they probably weren't in the street. They were in a field nearby. And so it was nighttime. It was dark. And so this angel of the Lord appears to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So all of a sudden, this angel appears. We assume, we don't know, the Bible doesn't say that they were floating above. Like, there's always this like, oh, I'm looking down. But they could have been like, hey, how's it going? Like walking right up. But regardless, there was this amazing cloud. This amazing, let's call it cloud, this issue of God's radiance, the glory of God. And this is not just like they were shiny. It doesn't mean they just had a halo. It meant that all of who God is was contained in his glory. And that's the, if you remember in the Old Testament where Moses said, God, can I see your glory? And God said, no way. Because if you, a human being, saw my glory, you would die instantly. Because no one can withstand my glory. And so, because an imperfect human couldn't. And so you've got something here. Obviously, it's not the full glory of God, because the shepherds would have been dead. But they're out here in a dark field, Jewish guys just doing their thing, when all of a sudden an angel appears to them, and the glory of God, the brightness, the shininess, the power of everything that God is, appears to these guys on this dark night. That's a big deal. That is a huge deal. So you need to understand that, you know, as we know that the pageants and the harp, the angels sing, you know, like this was magnificent. It was so magnificent that everything that God is contained in his glory is shining, probably like daytime or worse. Or worse, I don't know if daytime's bad, but or more. And it said that these guys were terrified. It says they were terrified. And this word, you ready? The Greek is kind of a fun, because you probably know it. It's phobos, phobos, where we get phobia, Christianophobia, fear of. Phobos, mega, phobiamai. So it says they feared, fear, a mega fear. They feared something that was crazy scary to them. And you need to understand this too. These guys probably needed to change their loincloths. Like, there was some serious, like, fear going on, because the glory of God appeared to them out of nowhere in the dark, and they were scared to death. You need to understand that. This was huge. This wasn't just like this, like, oh yeah, look at that. Hey, that's cool. They were afraid they were going to die. And whether they were afraid they were going to die because they were like, that's the glory of the Lord, the glory of Yahweh, the true God that we worship as Jewish people, or they were just like, what the heck is going on? Regardless, it was a serious, serious fear. It was a terror. And, you know, I'm not a horror movie kind of guy. It's not my thing in any way. But you know, if you've seen a scary movie, or you think of that scene from that movie where, you know, your arm hair and your neck hair, like all, what's that word, like stands up, and you just, that just total dread, like what's going to happen. Or if you're in the building late at night by yourself, and you're like, did I hear a sound? What was that? And then, say, Scott jumps up through a window at you. You fear a great fear. You are terrified. And that's what's going on here. These guys were sure they were going to die. They were going to die. This is it. Life has met, they've met their end. It is a big deal. They feared a great fear. They were terrified. They were sore afraid. That's kind of another translation of that idea of like, how do you say that this was really big deal? They were feared of great fear. They were phobia, megaphobia, phobia, megaphobia, my. They were terrified. And then the angel says, then the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, we often picture the angel as a woman, but the angel, he said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. So the angel says, look, guys, I know you're scared out of your mind, but you need to understand something, Jewish shepherds out here in the dark, late at night in the field. Don't be afraid, because I'm about to tell you as an angelos, as an angel, as a messenger of the Lord, I've got a message for you. I'm about to share with you some good news. And it's not just good news, which, by the way, the word good news is it comes where we get the word evangelist. It means to tell good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Now, last year we looked at this passage and we looked at the to all people part and how the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus was for everybody. And that was just crazy awesome. And you can listen to it. It's called Merry Christmas Now What, whatever the last week of that series was on our website. But this idea of great joy, the word joy is Chara, C-H-A-R-A. It would be a very convenient name to name your daughter. So I did. So we named our daughter, our oldest, Chara, which means joy. And it's actually, she's named after her mom because her mom's middle name is Joy in English. She is Chara, joy in Greek. But the cool thing about this word joy, this Chara, is that it's not just like, yay, I'm happy and we're dancing and we're frolicking. It's that it's rooted in the word for grace, which is charis, charis, depending on how you pronounce it. But it that the word joy, the reason the word joy, kara, exists is because of the word grace, because of charis, because of grace, because of this undeserved, unearned, unconditionally given gift from God. And so when this angel is saying, I am bringing you great joy, I'm sharing great joy for all people, she's not just saying, and you're going to be happy today. Woohoo! It's Friday! You know, it's nothing like that. She's saying, the angel, he, is saying, I am bringing you something that is great joy. This is going to revolutionize your life. This is going to transform you, because this word, this joy, this idea of rejoicing, of gladness, comes from grace. It comes from the fact that you are about to get something that you do not deserve, that is going to rock your world. So they've got these shepherds out in the middle of this field, in the dark. Suddenly, an angel appears, a messenger of God. The glory of God is shining around this angel. These shepherds are scared to death. And the angel says, don't be afraid, because I am about to tell you something that's going to bring Chara to you. That is going to be great, Chara. Joy rooted in God's grace. Rooted in something that you don't deserve, that it's going to change everything. So that's the joy that we're talking about. This idea of finding joy. We talk about like, oh, it's joyful season. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And ding dong. Anyway, we have this like, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but this idea of joy kind of means like I feel good. I feel kind of special. I get that warm, tingly feeling. But we kind of have that idea that joy means I feel special or I'm warm and fuzzy. And joy is so much more. It is so much more. It is something that is powerful because it's rooted in the fact that we are getting an undeserved gift. Because we are getting God's grace. God's charis is giving us Chara. So that's where this joy comes from. So let's talk about joy. Why was the angel, why was he saying that I am bringing great joy? I'm bringing you news of great joy. Because the great joy was Jesus. The news of great joy simply is Jesus. It wasn't because we're about to create a holiday where we get to spend a lot of time together fighting against turkey and then eating the people as survivors. It wasn't a time so we can give and have stuff. I am sharing news of great kara, of great joy, because Jesus is coming. And so this means something to these shepherds, and this is what I want to kind of break down a little bit, is that the first thing that the angel says, that he says that Jesus is the Savior. The reason there is joy built into this, the reason there is kara, the reason there is undeserved joy and gladness from grace, is because Jesus is the Savior. He is the one, the word means, to rescue us, to rescue people. This joy for all people, because Jesus is born. He is the Savior, and that's what the angel says. Today, in the town of David, which we'll come back to the town of David and why that matters to these shepherds, a Savior has been born to you. He says, I am shining crazy because I've got the glory of the Lord around me. You are scared out of your mind, shepherds, but you do not need to be afraid because I am sharing good news of great joy because the Savior has been born. Because the one that is going to rescue you, you have been stuck in your sin. And shepherds, Jewish shepherds, don't deny it. You know the stories. You know the stories of the Old Testament and how your people generations ago had turned against God and really weren't interested in and were stuck. And the law just showed you that there was nothing to hope for because you could never do and never be good enough on your own. You were lost in your sin. You were separated from God because of your imperfection, because of your sin. You could never be in the presence of a holy God and live. These Jewish shepherds knew that. They understood that. And so they're being told that a Savior has been born. That's pretty cool. It would be sort of like, you know, well, let's go with a Doctor Who reference here. You know, somebody that maybe travels in time coming to you and saying, look, I want you to know, somebody's been born today, and when you're 78, you're going to slip and fall in front of the street. But the guy that was born today, he's going to pull you out of the way, and you're going to be saved from getting hit by that train. Because there's a train in the street. You're in Lewistown. Downtown Lewistown. Fast-moving train. Watch out, I'm falling. And somebody has been born today that's going to save you from that. They're going to rescue you from that. And you're like, cool. That's pretty cool because I don't want to get hit by the train going through downtown Lewistown at like a half mile an hour like it does. Maybe you'll save your eardrums. Your head was going to explode from the train horns because you were so close. But this person was born today that when you're 78 is going to rescue you. He's going to save you. That is pretty cool. That is what this guy is saying. This angel is saying to the shepherds, look, today a Savior has been born. He has been born today to save you. That's cool. That's awesome. And if somebody came to you and said, I'm from the future, Marty, I've got to tell you something. You know, like you would, it would be cool. But that's not the end. The joy doesn't just come because, oh, the Savior's been born today. Someone is going to save you has been born today. He goes on, the angel says, the next thing is that he is bringing great joy. I am sharing news of great joy. Tidings. We like to say, like, we all of a sudden get like we live in, you know, I don't know, 18th century England when it's Christmas time. Like, you don't talk like that the rest of the time, but he's bringing great tidings. Good news of great joy, not just because he is the Savior, because he's the one that's going to rescue you, because he is the Messiah. Now, here's where it really gets interesting. Because we, as American 21st century Christ followers, we don't think in terms of a first century Jewish shepherd. We don't think in terms of a first century Jew, because we're, most of us, I don't know, you may be Jewish, you have some Jewish heritage, but you're definitely not in the first century. And if you think you are, okay. But the angel is saying that, look, this is the Messiah. And other translations may say Christ. And so here is the big deal. So let's listen to what the angel says. He says, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Your translation may say he is Christ the Lord. Messiah, Mashiach, is the Old Testament word that was referring to the one, capital O-N-E, because Jewish people knew. God said over and over and over, Isaiah talked about, the prophets, many of the prophets talked about, Micah talked about, that one day, look, everything's kind of messy and ugly right now. But one day, God is going to send the capital O-N-E, the anointed one, which the Old Testament word is Mashiach, the Messiah. The New Testament word for that is Christ, Christos, the anointed one, the capital O-N-E, Messiah, anointed one, Christ. They all are the same word, different languages. So this angel says, look, he is the Messiah. This one that's coming to save you, this rescuer that's coming, he's not just coming because he's going to save you, but he is the one, the O-N-E, the Christos, the Christ, the Messiah. He is coming. He is born today. He is Christ, the Lord, the Messiah, the Lord. And this is a big deal because these Jewish guys know their Jewish history. They know that they're waiting for that one. At this point, if you remember, we talked about this a little bit during Word, the sequel. But, you know, it's been 400 years since they've heard anything from God. And generations are like, I guess God's given up on us. Yeah, you know, some things have happened. The synagogue was born. And the Pharisees kind of rose to power and prominence. But for the most part, you know, where's God? Where's he been? And so this angel, which is kind of what, you know, if you've been waiting for God for 400 some years, you know, your family, your history, your generations, and someone shows up like, hey, how's it going? I'm Kirk. I'm a messenger of the Lord here to deliver a message. You'd be like, okay, whatever, Angel Kirk. But if Kirk showed up and went, wah, glory of God, you'd be like, okay. I mean, you get the idea. The reason the glory of the Lord shone around is because this angel was saying, look, this is for real. This is for real. I am about to share with you this message. And the issue is, there's a drippy in here, that the Messiah has been born. The one that your family has been waiting for, that you have been waiting for generations. He is here. And the reason why it's a big deal that in the town of David, because throughout the Old Testament, Micah specifically was one where it said that the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the one that was going to come, he was going to be born in the city of David. He was going to be born in the city of David known as Bethlehem. And he was. David was born in Bethlehem. And this is a big deal too because David was a king. And the prophet said that, you know what, someday there's going to be someone born in the line of David. And we talked about this back in the many jacked up generations in Jesus' genealogy, a Christmas tale, which was 2 years ago, our Christmas series. You can listen to that as we talked about why it mattered that Jesus was born in the line that he was. But Jesus was part of the same line. He was a descendant of David. These were things that Jewish shepherds got. They understood that. And so this angel is saying, look, I am bringing you good news that's going to bring great kara, because it's rooted in this good news of grace, of an undeserved gift that God is giving to you. Because today, not only has someone been born that's going to save you, but this isn't just some guy that's like saving you for the day. He is the Messiah, the O-N-E, the Christ, the one that has been promised to redeem Israel, to buy them back out of their slavery, to buy people. And that's what the angel said. He's for all people. This is good news for all people. That the Messiah has come. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah. So that is a big deal. That is why Jesus is great joy, because these shepherds were like, oh, I get that. And see, we say it at Christmas time, we're like, you know, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. Like, oh, that's cool. Bethlehem, cool. But we don't realize what it meant to these Jewish people saying, no, this isn't just cool. This is prophecy fulfilled. This is a waiting, something that they've been anticipating for generations is finally happening. So the angel shows up, glory of the Lord, to the shepherds out in the field of the night, says, don't be afraid. He says, I am bringing you good news that will bring great kara to all people, because today a Savior has been born, and he is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the capital O-N-E. He is the one that people have been waiting for. And the third thing that we see the angels saying is that he is peace. So not only has the Messiah and the Savior come, but one who who is going to make things right with God. Because ultimately, you know, if you get saved from getting hit by a very slow train, if you're excited that eventually a prophecy is being fulfilled, you're still going to die and go to hell. But the fact that the one that was born was going to make things right, he's going to bring peace between us and God, because our sin is at war with God. We can't be together. And that's what the angel goes on and says. Right before this passage, it says that the shepherds, or the angel said, you're going to find, here's a sign. You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And again, that's one of those things we say. It's like, ooh, lying in a manger. That's weird. Okay? You need to understand that. That's weird. Because essentially the angel is saying, look, just so you're not sure which baby it was, because there's lots of babies born. You know, you see the little thing in the newspaper about, here's the first baby born this year. You know, like there's lots of babies born all the time. Why is this? How are we going to know this one's different, angel of God's glory, that's making me want to wet my pants? He says, well, you're going to find this one. You're going to get a food trough. What? You mean the neonatal intensive care unit? No. Food trough. And that's unusual. Just in case you know, because that's what a manger is. It's not this beautiful little straw thing with the little X-shaped thing. And, oh, laying down in a bed of straw. Like, it is a feeding trough for animals. And so that's why this was such a unique sign to these shepherds. Look, this is for real, guys. I know the glory of the Lord thing might have sold you, probably. But just in case, I'm just telling you, this is how you're going to find him. He's going to be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then it says that suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, not singing, but anyway, but the word praising could mean singing, so we'll give everybody a little slack on that. It says, glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory, the same word here, doxa, the same word that said the angel had the glory of the Lord shining around him. It's the same word, that glory to God, it belongs to him. In the highest heaven, which is just a way of saying, you know what? Glory as far as it can go. Because peace on earth has come to those with whom God is pleased. And this is something that we, you know, it's a hard thing to translate. But here's the gist of it, especially if you know the kind of the King James, you know, we've learned growing up, and the, you know, Christmas pageant stuff and Charlie Brown Christmas. But basically, the angel is saying, look, God has brought peace on earth because he is pleased with people. Because his favor has rested on humanity. Because if God didn't care about us, he would not have sent his son Jesus. If God did not, you know, fine, you guys have gone your own way, I don't care. And that's where the grace comes in, that we don't deserve it. We have gone away, we have turned away from God. And so God says his favor has rested on people. God's favor has come, and God is saying, because I love you, I am sending my son who will bring peace. He's going to make things right between humanity and the holy God. And so this idea of joy is so that these shepherds are in the field scared to death, and the angel says, look, I'm bringing great joy, immense, crazy joy, because the Savior, the one that is saving you, has come. The Messiah, the one you've been waiting for, has come. And this Messiah, this Savior, he is going to make things right. He's like Mike Holmes of heaven. Mike Holmes, Holmes on Holmes. You remember that show? That's still around. Anyway, he was always going and be like, oh, I'm going to make things right that weren't right before. Okay. Whew. Anyway, that's what God was doing. That's what God is doing through Jesus. He's making things right. He's fixing things. So that's why it's great joy. That's why this is a big deal. That's why the angel and the glory of God shining around him saying, I am bringing you good news that is going to bring great joy. Because the Messiah, the Savior, the one who's bringing peace, he's here. This is the real deal. You guys, I mean, I think it's kind of cool. Like, what an honor. I don't know if they were thinking that, but you know, of all, and this is a whole other thing, that why did God show up to shepherds? They're kind of like the bottom of the rung in terms of society. It's probably a reason that God did that. But to say that, you know, here I'm announcing to you, you lowly people, that this is it. You're the first ones to hear it. Share with your friends. Like it. Tweet it. This is it. This is the news. So, for Christmas this year, find joy. I need you to understand that joy is found in Jesus. Only Jesus. Joy is only found in Jesus. And I say that, and we're kind of, we know, we get that, but do we get that? That if we're looking for joy, if things are not going well, if we feel bad, can we feel bad and still have joy? Can we feel happy and not have joy? The question comes, what is the source? Where are we finding our joy? Especially at this time of year. Because, I mean, how many, I don't know if you watch football or not, but there were some games yesterday and some teams did really bad and made other teams make further up in their division, which doesn't make me happy. But anyway, you notice who I'm not talking about this year, the Giants. But anyway, if you watch football this time of year, you usually have the like interviews with players. Like, so what does Christmas mean to you? Oh, I love it. It's fun and joy because it's a joyful time. We get together with our families and it's a lot of fun. And you hear those kind of things about where, you know, that Christmas means joy. But joy can't be found in any of those other things. It's only found in Jesus. So let me quickly break the mold on some of these things. The first thing is that joy cannot be found in stuff. If you were here last week, we talked about this. Joy cannot be found in our stuff. You cannot find joy because you have a lot, and you cannot be unjoyful or disjointed because you don't have enough. Because it's not about our stuff. Joy is found in Jesus, not in how much or how little you have. And we talked about that last week, so I'm not going to get into it. But here's the passage we looked at. It was the rich young man. And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions. And we don't have time to talk about it, but you can listen to it online. Go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad. He was trying to find joy in his stuff. He went away sad because Jesus said, the thing that makes you happy, I want you to give up. He went away sad because great wealth. Again, listen to that online. So that's just a review. The second thing, real joy cannot be found in accomplishments. Real joy cannot be found in accomplishments. And I got to tell you, list man. Sean Fitch is a list man. And I'm letting you down here, I know. If my list isn't done at the end of the day, I feel bad. There's probably a subtle thing where people, you know, and I shouldn't be saying this because half of my family is here, but like, oh, Dad, you're in a grumpy, foul mood this evening. I guess the list wasn't done, was it? No, I mean, I'm built on, did I get that done? All right, I had a good day. I'm feeling joyful. I'm feeling good. Or if I didn't get it, then I feel bad. And you know what? That's wrong because we cannot find joy in our accomplishments. We looked at this passage last week as well, and this is Paul talking about his accomplishment, what he has done. And he was a Pharisee. Well, here's his resume. He said, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. He says, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. I'm finding joy in Jesus. We have no confidence in our human effort, in what we do, in what we accomplish. He says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anybody could, I could do it. He says, indeed, I have reason for confidence. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. He says, here's the deal. You think you're a good Jewish person. You think you're a good follower of Jesus. Well, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Judah. Tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. He says, look, to Jewish people, this doesn't make as much sense to us. But he says, look, I am like Jewishly Jewish. It doesn't get more Jewish than me. And Jews were cool. Jewish meant like good things. And he says, I am talking about how Jewish I am. I could say that I am a great Jewish person. I was a member of the Pharisees. If you talk about the best that there was, I was a Pharisee who demanded the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I followed the law. I was so zealous. I was so Jewishly Jewish Pharisaical that I harshly persecuted the church. I killed people. I watched people get killed. We read that in Acts. He says, as for righteousness, I obeyed the law word for word without fault. He goes on and says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as poop. Talked about that last week. So that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness, my own accomplishments through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself doesn't depend on what we do or our accomplishments. It depends on faith. So that's what Paul's saying. Look, I have every reason to say, look how much I've accomplished. But you know what? It's poop. It's garbage. It's crap. Compared to Jesus. Yes, I said crap in church. I said it last week and put it on the screen too. You can listen to that. So, it's nothing. We cannot find joy in our accomplishments because that's not the source of joy, because Jesus is the source of joy. Moving on. We can't find joy. Now I'm going to really start stepping on toes here. We can't find joy in the Christmas spirit. I love the spirit of the holidays. It just feels so good. Everybody's nice. People are always saying, please, take my shopping cart, even though it's the last one in the store. Oh, I'm never going to cut you on in traffic. It's Christmas. But even so, you know, we kind of have this like, oh, there's the feeling of Christmas. These good feelings that come around Christmas time. That cannot be our source of joy. It cannot be where we find pleasure. We can't be what, like, the good, oh, it feels good, so that's joy. Yes, I love Christmas because of the Christmas spirit. This is what we looked at Ecclesiastes last week as well, but this is Solomon. He has come to the end of his life writing this book. He was the richest man that ever lived, wisest man that ever lived, pretty much did everything, and he was trying to find joy in good feelings, in pleasure. He didn't find it in the Christmas spirit because Jesus wasn't around then, wasn't born yet. But he was trying to find joy in what felt good, in his good feelings. And he says what he said. He says, I said to myself, come, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found this too was meaningless. Don't have time to talk about it. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek after pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. I was still seeking wisdom. I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. So I tried to drink. Is drinking, that's going to make me happy. It's going to make me feel good. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks. More than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me, I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me. And my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in my hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. See, this guy had gone through it all, done it all, felt all the good feelings he could ever feel and couldn't find true joy because joy was found in Jesus, not in his pleasures, not in this stuff. Now let's go a little bit further and step on some toes. Another reason we cannot find joy, where we cannot find joy, is in good deeds. God has told us to serve others. We are told to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have built part of the MC3 vision around the concept of caring, of C3, of caring for other people, of serving others. And when we serve, it feels good. But that is not the source of joy. And I think a lot of times we like to do things because it makes us feel good. It makes us feel good inside because I did something good. I did a good deed. And I want you to know that that's not joy either. That is just that's something that we're commanded to do, and it's good, and there's nothing wrong with feeling good about it. But it is not the source of joy. The reason we serve is because Jesus has served us, because he said, I want you to do the same as I do, when he took off his outer garments and washed the feet of his disciples. We talked about that in the IMMC3 series. This is like a whole plug for the year. But it's not in our good deeds. And here's in Romans, Paul is talking about Abraham and how Abraham, you know, he was Abraham. He was like the father of the Jewish faith, the one that has done so many great, wonderful things. He said, if Abraham's good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have something to boast about. But that was not God's way. Abraham did a lot of amazing things. He sacrificed his son Isaac. He followed God into this unknown land to become the father of this great nation. He planned to sacrifice his son Isaac. But he said that wasn't God's way. For the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. You can't do enough. You can't earn your way to joy. You can't be doing good things to find joy. Joy is not found in doing good things. Joy is found in Jesus. And that's why the angel didn't say, I bring you good news today. Because if you do these 7 things, you're golden. No, I bring you good news today because a Savior, the Messiah, has been born. Good deeds. And then if I haven't quite stepped on your toe yet, hopefully this one will get you. Joy cannot be found in family. And in MC3, we have MC3 family. We very intentionally don't call it kids ministry or children's ministry because family is important. At the beginning of ATU, all tuned up every month, Steph says, our job as a church is not to raise your children. It's your job as parents. Family is important. We want to come alongside you and help you do that. We are calling next week a family worship Sunday. We're not meeting here. Spend time with your family. Family is good, but family cannot be your source of joy. We love to get together in the holidays and spend time with family, and it feels good. But family can't be your source of joy either. Because all of these things are going to let you down, because none of them are Jesus. None of them are the one who has saved you. And this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. He was talking about people following him, and another man came to Jesus and said, Jesus came to another man and said, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. You know, basically, the guy is saying, I'm going to wait for my dad to die. That's the short version. Let me wait till my dad is dying. He probably wasn't doing well. And Jesus said, no, let the dead bury their own. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He says, no, don't get caught up in your family. Follow me. I'm more important than your family. Another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and at least say goodbye to my family. And he says, look, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. If you're getting ready to move forward and you're looking back and saying goodbye, he says, that's not what I want. I want someone that's uncommitted, that's committed to unconditionally and totally following me. And that's what Jesus has asked for, because Jesus understands that he is the source of joy. Because it's not found in our family. And there's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with all these things, right? There's nothing wrong with stuff. You just can't let it own you. You can't be the source of joy. There's nothing wrong with accomplishing things. You just can't let it own you. Be the source of your joy. There's nothing wrong with Christmas spirit. It's hard to feel good, but it can't be your source of joy. There's certainly nothing wrong with doing good things, but it can't be your source of joy. There's nothing wrong with family, but it can't be your source of joy, because only Jesus can be your source of joy. And joy doesn't always mean happiness. But joy says, I understand that Kara has come. Based on the fact that charis, that an unconditional gift has been given in Jesus. So for Christmas this year, find joy. I want to wrap up, and I'm running a little bit late. I want to wrap up by just doing something kind of simple and old school. But I want to read a passage to you from Isaiah that you are probably familiar with at Christmas time. You've probably heard it before. It's going to be on the screen as well. But I want you just to listen. I'm going to really try very hard and not say anything. as I read it. I mean, besides the reading it of itself. But this is a passage in Isaiah chapter 9, and it's a very familiar Christmas passage that you hear a lot. But I want you to think about this as if you're that shepherd in the field. As if you're a Jewish person, and here is this prophecy. This is Isaiah talking about the one who will bring great kara. This is what Isaiah says. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. Why? I added that. It's okay. Why? Because to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on, and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for sending Jesus. That he, as the Savior, as the Rescuer, as the Messiah, the Christ, as the one who is bringing peace between you and us, he is the source of joy. And I pray that this Christmas truly, in all the other things that are good, that are fun, that we would not miss that Jesus is the source of true joy. Help us to see that, to grasp it, to appreciate it, and come to thank you and be grateful that God's Son was born on this earth, born as a human being, and born for the only reason so that he could die for us on the cross, making us right with you, bringing us peace with God, saving us from our sin. So thank you so much for that, God. And I pray that just in some way, whether that's just a change in our heart, a change in our thought, just a fleeting moment even, that you would help us to find joy in Jesus and appreciate him for that and worship him because of that. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.